بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. We start with a series of lectures about women rights in Islam, and today we'll start about the subject of hijab, which is wajib upon the woman. It's ahkam from Quran and Sunnah, and it's social and medical benefits for the Muslim society. First of all, one important point to be known, that Islam do not look to the woman to be lower than the man. This idea is not there. In Islam, there is equality, but there is no similarity. Equality means there is justice. Everyone, whether he is a man or a woman, they are given according to their physical build and what they need, and are asked to do according to what they can do and what is their role in life. So if there is difference in duties and responsibilities, does not mean that is injustice. No, that is the real justice, because as we said before, justice is defined as putting everything in its exact position. Now, the woman has to stay in a place of a woman and play her role in life as a woman. And the man has to have responsibilities and duties of a man, and he should play his role in life as a man. Now, if we put the man instead of the woman, or the woman in the place of the man, that will be injustice. So similarity, it will mean injustice, but equality in rights, or let us say justice in rights, that is the main thing which is needed, and Islam looks to them equally. To give another example, say for the graduates, I mean, a lawyer is a graduate and a teacher is a graduate. Now, the government put the lawyer in the court to defend cases of the people, and put the teacher in a school to teach the students. Now, if you change their place, the teacher will say, okay, I will be a lawyer, and the lawyer will be, you say, I be a teacher. Actually, that will mean corruption. So there is no equality, no similarity, but though there is justice to them, or they have equal rights, means they are in the same grade. A doctor and engineer, they might be in equal grade. They say, for example, grade 19, and they get equal salary, but they do not have similar jobs. The doctor might sit in a room, comfortable, with air condition, see limited number of patients, and so on. And the engineer might work in the row for making the roads under direct sunlight, under humid area, under bad circumstances. The engineer cannot say, since the doctor is in air-conditioned room, I should sit in that room. Said, no, your role is here. And the role of the doctor is in hospital. So the doctor has to play his role, and you have to play your role. You have equal rights, but not similar rights. There is justice between both of you, but there is no similarity in work. The same thing for men and women. Islam looks to them from a point of view of justice for both of them, but justice does not mean similarity, because there is a difference between both of them. Now, one idea that the woman was created from the man, or according to the Old Testament, was created from the rib of the man, and because the rib is curved, the woman remains always going astray because she was created from a curved rib. That idea is not true according to Islam. In Islam, said, وَبَثَّ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Allah has created you from one soul, and then from that He created many men and women. So both the men and women were created from one soul. The woman was not created from rib of the man, and the man has in his left side shortage of his ribs. No, that is scientifically is not true. Number of the ribs in the left side of the man and right side of the man is the same. There is no shortage. So we see Islam how much respects the woman in this, and it says she has equal place in creation. And again about the story of Adam and Eve, according to the Bible, it is said that Eve, or the woman, has misled the man and was the cause for his misery to be thrown out from paradise and come to earth with all the difficulties he is facing in earth. So the origin of the problems and miseries and troubles that the people are facing in life was the woman, according to the Bible. But according to Islam, no, that is not true. According to Islam, said both of them, the man and the woman, were misled by Satan, by Shaytan. According to the Holy Quran, said, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan has misled both of them. And that is a very natural phenomena we are feeling nowadays. You see, between shaitan and the human being, there is a feel of enmity. And that is natural because from the very beginning they were enemies of each other, and that remains in their creation. Now, if the woman would have been the cause for misery of the man, then there should be also feeling of enmity between the man and the woman. While we see practically, no, there is always attraction and love between man and the woman. So this love shows they had no such bad experience before. And the enmity between both of them and Shaytan is because Shaytan has misled both of them. So you see, in Islam again, this bad name for the woman is not accepted, and he said the woman and the man both were misled by Shaytan. Now we come to the subject of hijab today. Many people ask whether really hijab is wajib or not, because unfortunately, due to propaganda and due to habit and due to what they see in modern life, many of the Muslim women and even the Muslim men unfortunately started questioning the authenticity and importance of hijab, and they say hijab might not be wajib, and it is not very clear in Quran that hijab is wajib, or it is not very clear in ahadith that hijab is wajib. And every now and then we hear in the Muslim countries on a large scale, well, it started, I can say, from 50, 60 years ago, 1920s, till now, these new ideas are coming out after loss of the Ottoman Caliphate. in the First World War and divisions of the Muslim countries and coming of the Western powers to rule the Muslim Ummah, naturally the Western ideas came to the Muslim countries. And hijab is a Muslim phenomenon, so the Western people were against hijab, and many people started making excuses and writing articles saying that hijab is not wajib and hijab is not mentioned in Quran. So now we want to discuss about hijab in Quran, just to make sure that the Holy Quran clearly mentions about what you say hijab in general. Now hijab as a word itself means like a curtain to cover. Maybe a better word which is used by fuqaha in Risale in a time of the prayer, we say a sitr covering, not like a curtain. And a sitr is a better word than hijab. But still, this term is prevailing and is used by people just to show that what they meant is the sitr, which is wajib for the women to have. Now the ayah of hijab in the Holy Quran, which mentions that in detail, and the fuqaha are depending on that, is from Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, Ayah 30 and 31. The ayah says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمورهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن من زينتهن فتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون. These are the two ayahs which mention this subject in detail and all ahkam of hijab which is wajib. Now we'll discuss these in detail. Let us come for the first ayah. The translation is, say to the believing men, started with men, that they cast down their looks and guard their private parts. That is a furor for them. Surely Allah is aware of what they do. Now here is two parts hijab. One is the duty of the men and the second one is the duty of the women. Now the duty of the men, which is first mentioned, is to break their vision and to cast down their looks, and they should not stare in looking to the women. Now here the word mentioned is يغضوا من أبصارهم. They should cast down their glance. Here يغضوا in Arabic means to reduce their vision or they should not concentrate while looking. It is not yaghmud. Yaghmud means to close the eye. It is not mentioned to close the eyes. And it says yaghudu, to break the vision, not to stare, not to concentrate, not to intentionally look. And the word used, absarihim, not ayunihim. Ayn is the physical eye. Absar is the vision. Though vision is done by the eye, but absar means the vision. So it did not say yaghmudu ayunahum, to close their eyes. It says yaghudu absarahum. Yaghudu min absarihim is to cast down or reduce their look, their vision. So you see, the word which is meant is not that they should not see. So if they walk in the street where women are there, they should close their eyes. So that is not possible and not practical. But you say they should not concentrate, and they should not intentionally look to the women. So one of the duty is of the man that he should not see and should not steer in his vision. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and guard their private parts. Furuj, which is mentioned here, private parts, according to some of the hadith, anywhere in Quran Furuj is mentioned, it was meant as chastity, meant to maintain their chastity. Iffa, haya, hishma. They should feel shame. They should preserve their chastity. They should be pious. So the word وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, or in Quran وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, they are protecting their private parts, actually meant they are having chastity. But according to a hadith, only here what is meant, furuj, means their private part, and here shows looking to private parts is haram. Again here, part of hijab, the man cannot look to private part of a man, and a woman cannot look to private part of a woman, and naturally a man cannot look to private part of woman, or vice versa. So here what is meant is looking in this ayah, which is part of hijab also. So now this part is the duty of the man, not to concentrate and not to steer in looking. And again it comes to the duty of the woman with the second ayah. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ, and say to the believing women that they cast down their looks and guard their private parts and not display their ornaments except what appears thereof, and let them wear their head coverings, cover their bosoms, and not display their ornaments except to their husbands or their fathers, etc. Again here, the order came to the women that they should cast down their look. So as it is not allowed for the man to look to the women, it is not allowed for the women to look to the man. And as we say, looking here means in concentration. Naturally, if they walk in the street, they might see each other, but without concentration. In some of the hadith, they say, النَّظْرَةُ الْأُولَى لَكْ, أَوَّلُ نَظْرَةٍ لَكْ, والثانية عليك ولا لك, والثالثة فيها الهلاك. The first look is for you, and the second look is against you and not for you, and the third one is in that is your perish. So you see, the first look, that look is usually without intention, without concentration, and that is what is allowed. But if somebody was attracted by the first look and he tried to look again and concentrate in his looking, he says that is against you and is not for you. And if he still tried to concentrate more and look more, naturally he will be stimulated, he will be affected, and with that he will perish, and what he is doing is doing the haram thing. So for both the men and the women, the order is there, they should not look and they should not concentrate in their looking. And here is saying, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, and not display their ornaments except what appears thereof. Now, their ornaments, naturally either ornaments on the neck or on the hands or for the legs, so that should not be shown. And as it is said in Arabic language, when they say the ornament should not be shown, means the place where the ornament is placed should not be shown. They say the ornament, but they mean the chest. They say the ornament for the hand, but they mean the forearm or the foreleg. So the ornament means the leg itself should not be shown. So what remains out of that is only the face and the two hands. And in some riwayat, the 2 feet were added, though the fuqaha usually said only the face and 2 hands are allowed. So the ornament or the place of the ornament is not allowed. إلا ما ظهر منها, except what appears thereof. They say what appears is the what of the face, the normal face, and some of them add the kohol, which is put in the eye, or the henna in the hand, that is accepted. That is what is meant by except what has appeared. ما ظهر منها, actually the meaning what appears thereof, or except what has appeared. Or in some translation, it said, and reveal not their adornment except such as is outward. Now you say the order except what is apparently appearing means well, the natural beauty is one, and what is allowed beside the natural, you say alcohol wal khatam. Alcohol, the kohol is the black thing put in the for the eyelash, and the khatam is the ring. The ring is a beauty but is exempted. Or the henna, they put henna, that is also a beauty, but that is exempted because it is in the hand. So except this, the rest of the parts are not exempted. Well, the details are not mentioned, but what is usual? Now, usually one is the usual one. Now, if it becomes too many and too much attractive, it may not come under the usual one. Maybe only one. Again, some of the ulama, they said even the ring is not allowed, and what is meant, only the natural things, like henna, which is a color there, but not a ring which is there. Some of the ulama say the ring is exempted, some say not. Well, I mean, that is exempted. It is attractive, no doubt. But, I mean, it has another philosophy, because practically the woman needs the hand for the business, for the war, for taking something, for giving something, etc. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exempted that. It does not mean that it is better to show the hand. No, still it's better not to show the hand, and still it's better not to show the face. If you can cover the face and you can cover the hand, that is the best. If she do not mix with men outside, still that is the best. But what you are talking here, what is allowed in Sharia, the best is that is good and extra to it. But this limit is allowed in Sharia. Other than this limit is not allowed. And then you say, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرَهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنْ. And let them cast their veils. Khumar is the one which covers the hair, the head piece, over their bosoms, and reveal not their adornment except to their husbands, fathers, etc. With the details will come. So now he says that they should put their head coverings over their bosoms. And here comes the covering of the neck and the chest. What the women in Arab used to have, they have the shirt and the chest were open. So he says that the khimar with the headpiece should come and cover the chest and cover the neck. So the chest, the neck and the ears to be covered according to this ayah, the meaning of this ayah. The Mufassirin all, they mention the details about that, and they say it should be covered the ears, the neck and the chest. So what it means, the bosoms, means all this part is to be covered. And then the exceptions mentioned here are different categories. To say about except to their husbands, their father, their husband's father, their sons, their husband's son, their brothers' sons, their sisters' sons, or their women. Their women means the Muslim women, or what the right hand own, or such men as attend to them, not having sexual desire, like a foolish man or a stupid man who has no sexual desire, and similar people, or children who have not yet attained knowledge of women's private parts, small child who still do not differentiate. And still more details are mentioned here at the end of this ayah. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهُنَّ. More is mentioned, nor let them stamp their feet so that their hidden ornament may be known. Because some of the women, they have ornaments on their legs, and they used to strike the leg with their feet, and the ornament gives sound, and that will create attraction. So he says they should not do that, and they should not create attraction. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the people to do tawbah to him. He says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And turn all together to God, all you believers, so you will prosper. لعلكم تفلحون. So you see here the details of the hijab is mentioned about the men and about the women, and both are ordered to not to look and not to stare to each other, and that is what the fuqaha also have given fatwa and gave the details. Naturally, the attraction for both men and women is there, And both of them are asked not to steal to each other, but still, because the woman is more attractive and her role in life is actually to be attractive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her in such a way that she is usually attractive to the men, so Allah has asked her to cover her body except the face and the hands, so that that will not create extra stimulation for the men for the sake of chastity of the society. So this is in short about the ayahs of Quran about hijab, which mentions it in detail. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Is there any question up to this extent? I mean, wearing ornament or cloth or even makeup or any type of makeup or beauty that is allowed in women's gathering. Because here is the exception, as is mentioned, among the your women. Your women means a Muslim woman. Because according to some of the ulama, it is not allowed for a Muslim woman to show her beauty in front of non-Muslim women for the fear that this non-Muslim will go and explain beauty of the Muslims to non-Muslims, and that will not look good. So say among non-Muslims, you are not allowed to show your beauty, but among nisa'ihinna, your Muslim women, it is allowed. You mean a male slave or female slave? Female slave, yes. Female slave for the woman is allowed to show the beauty. The hijab is not wajib, and for the man, the female slave is like a wife. It's halal. No, that is not the usual thing. That is the abnormal physiology and abnormal psychology. The normal man, the normal thing is that there is no attraction. Of course, the details of this, of looking, it comes in books of fiqh, that the look, if it is without luster, is halal. If it is with luster, is haram. So if a man looks to a man or to a child with luster, with lust is haram, and a woman looks with lust to a woman is haram. Even to look to a face with lust is haram. If looking to the face without lust, according to some of the ulama said, without lust is halal, but with lust in all conditions it is haram. But if hijab is not there between women and women, because usually such look is not there. I mean, in a normal woman, with the education of the Muslim society, when they know their duty, naturally that phenomena is not present. Now, if you see what is happening in non-Muslim society, when the homosexuality is encouraged by films and encouraged by stories, encouraged by propaganda in schools, in different magazines are there and so on, such phenomena is there, naturally that come under the general rule that looking with lust is haram. So it becomes haram in that case. But when you talk in a harmonized, equilibrated society in which the physiology and psychology of the men and women is normal, and homosexuality is an abnormal phenomenon, we cannot call it normal by no way. Whatever nowadays they propagate for it, but it is abnormal psychology of the human being. The normal is the attraction between men and women, not between men to each other or women to each other. That is not the normal way. So that is why the hijab is made between men and women. Such type of hijab is asked for. Yes.
If you hear from the
Well, it is not necessary to be in hijab in a women's gathering. If some are in hijab in women's gathering, maybe because they are afraid some men as a servant or somebody will pass there and others are not aware of him. So sometimes the people think the servants are allowed to come, but that is not there definitely. There is no faqih say the servants are allowed to come and see the women without hijab. So some of the religious women, they have noticed that certain servants are coming. The rest of the women maybe are not cautious about them. So that is why they remain hijab throughout the gathering. Otherwise, it is not wajib at all. No. You see, even that is not to say recommended, because there is two type of looks which is mentioned, or let us say three types. The one which is innocent look, and that is without concentration, without concern, which will pass away, and that is usually the first look. The second look, is said it will come with taladdud. There is certain taste, one feels pleasure to look. And that is beginning of a stimulation, that one feels pleasure to look. And that is why he looks second time. And that is why I say it is alayka, is against you, not for you. And then the third type of look, called with raiba. Raiba is anything which will cause ultimately someone to indulge in haram. So if more and more concentration is there, then there will be fear of doing haram things like when adultery or similar things. So I say the look should remain only the first look, which was innocent look, is allowed. Otherwise, continuation of the look is not allowed. So neither the man should look to the woman, nor the woman should look to the man. That looking is not allowed in that sense. So is there any more questions?
Thank you.